Well, it is lovely to be here with you this morning on this rather remarkable day, Mother's Day, and Rogation celebration this morning. And on this sixth Sunday of Easter, Jesus says some very mysterious and some very intimate things in the gospel which we heard. Jesus says that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. That is, we will learn his way of being, his way of moving through the world, and we will move with him through this world. We will receive a spirit, he says, a spirit that the world cannot see or know, that the world cannot receive. We will receive a spirit not from this world that will be in our spirits, spirit and spirit. He says the Father will love us, and Jesus will love us and disclose himself to us. Now, as St. Paul says in the reading from Acts, yes, every human being has a sense of God in this world. We have a sense of God's closeness, the holiness behind all things. Yes, we can know God at the beach and on the running path, and we can even know God in the grocery store. These things happen. God shows up. But something else is being talked about here. We are invited, it seems, into a relationship of the vulnerable opening of our lives, this loving devotion to Jesus, holding him, caring for him, caring for his word, so that he can speak in us and shape us and show us more of himself. Well, this kind of thing, this witness to intimacy with God and knowing and being known, a loving and being loved, a surrendering to God, a letting go to God, even as God has already surrendered to us, that's the stuff of the medieval mystics, among whom I have lived most of my life. You might say, alas, they've driven him mad. But they are my friends, and I've lived with them, and they experience this reality directly of loving Jesus so he could show more of himself to them, and then loving him more, and so on and so on. And we all experience this closeness of God showing God's self to us at moments in our lives. And what's amazing to me is that this kind of closeness to God, this inner knowing and being known, receiving the Spirit of Jesus, is not some strange medieval development or some odd New Age promise in a slickly marketed book, but it goes back to the very beginning, right? This is the Gospel of John, the beloved disciple, the very first friends of Jesus, who are saying to us that living with the resurrected Christ, the risen Christ, means that we can have this relationship of opening our lives to God in prayer and God speaking to us and showing who God is, and then we get more invested and more. That intimacy can be ours. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I was a little embarrassed to think of speaking in this way. It's not, shall we say, very manly to talk too much of intimacy and vulnerability and sharing of life and love. And it's not often something we talk about in the church a whole lot. The poets and mystics speak of being undone by God, unstrung by the holy. T.S. Eliot, the dove descending breaks the air with flame of incandescent terror, of which the tongues, the Pentecostal tongues, declare the one discharge from sin and error. We tread more prosaic paths. And yet, this relationship of knowing God, of being known, being touched and moved at the core of our being by a spirit that is not ours, is maybe the most important thing, because it affirms those moments of connection and communion and being held that are the most sacred moments of our lives, My friends in the communion of saints talk about this all the time. Julian of Norwich, whose feast day was this past Thursday or Friday. And even a woman named Eddie Hillesum, a Dutch Jew who eventually died in Auschwitz, who volunteered to go to a transit camp to Auschwitz to serve her people at the camp and went there because she felt she knew God and was going to carry God with her even in the darkest times. And Eddie was known to be walking along the barbed wire fence praising God. Praising God. That kind of life is possible. And then there's Desmond Tutu. Some years ago, Archbishop Tutu came to the monastery where I was living in order to give an address on prayer to a community of affiliates of the monastery. And Archbishop Tutu compared himself to a light bulb. And he said that everybody was always amazed looking at him how bright and warm light bulb was. But everybody was also mistaken, he said, when they believed that this brightness and warmth came from light bulb himself. He said that if you reached up and unscrewed light bulb and put him down on the table, he would give no warmth and no light. Poor light bulb, he said. What gave light bulb his power were people, he said, mostly hidden, mostly unknown, engaged fully in a life of prayer, holding him up before God. And he reminded us that for every convent St. Teresa of Calcutta founded, she also founded a community of sisters given entirely to prayer. And in my short experience of Archbishop Tutu, he revealed himself as a man who kept up a daily round of prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer, contemplative silence, even when the clergy around him were too busy and too important to join him. Isn't that kind of funny? Too important for Desmond. Now, you might be wondering where all this is going, right? For you all today? In Eastertide, with the risen Christ among us and his ability to move through all the walls we put between ourselves and him, to be present to us, I might perhaps be excused for offering a homily in praise of prayer in the deep sense that John talks about, if only because it's my heart and my great joy, I might be excused such enthusiasm. I preached once at Norwich Cathedral, and afterwards I came down and a more aged English man said, "Well, you seem very enthusiastic." And I realized later that he wasn't offering me a compliment. But I want to do something more than just be enthusiastic. I want to bear witness to you that from my short time with you all, I have seen this life of prayer already in ferment among you, yeast in dough, salt in the stew, lamps lit. It has been nurtured here over many years in Curcio, in small groups, in weekly Eucharists, morning prayer, even songs, Lent programs, and even the one-off coming of the Holy Ghost. Blessed may she be. Yielding our lives more and more to the Spirit of Jesus, like I'm talking about, like sanctifying him in your hearts in love, holding the Lord, bearing the presence of God with you in your embodied lives in this world. It doesn't mean going off to become a nun, although that wouldn't be a disaster. It would be for your husband, but you know. It doesn't even mean being all very special and like nattering on about spirituality or retreat centers or new books or whatever. But yielding more and more to God begins with something simple like gatherings with fellow parishioners to read and pray over the gospel. I mean, really to take these words of the gospel and to let them speak to us and to wonder, how is God speaking to me? How is God speaking to you? Where are we being touched by the Spirit of God as we gather and read? It begins with people drawing together to take the parish prayer list, where we have anniversaries and births, people with terminal illness, people in despair, people in pain, and just taking the time to pray for this parish and to hold it all up before the creative power of God. It begins with people taking time to listen to each other without judgment and with acceptance and curiosity. Like, what are you really like? So that our small talk gives way to a sharing of the ache and the questions and the grief at the heart of our lives and even those moments of joy that are so fragile. We feel so scared to share sometimes. It begins this yielding to God with making time as many Sundays as we can to come to Eucharist together and to hear the word and to pray and to offer our lives and to receive God's life back. And it continues with something as wonderful as Rogation Tide, where we throw a loop out from this Eucharist and gather in the created world, and we begin to wonder about God's blessing on us through this creation. And I could go on. What I mean to say is that the risen Christ is here, is present, is pressing on our lives, is passing through the wall of our lives. God desires us, and we can yield and make a place for God to be in our lives and discover from that a spirit, a life, a mission, a purpose, moving with God, the body of Jesus in this world. So may God help us to bring our grief and our confusion and our joys and our lives to God. That is prayer, the church's banquet. In the words of Blessed George Herbert, the Anglican poet, prayer is, he wrote, angel's age, God's breath in man returning to its birth, the heart in pilgrimage, the Christian plummet sounding heaven and earth. The heart in pilgrimage. Do you want your heart to go on pilgrimage today? Go on pilgrimage. Softness and peace and joy and love and bliss, exalted manna, gladness of the best, heaven in ordinary, heaven right here at St. Paul's, and man well dressed, the Milky Way, the bird of paradise, church bells beyond the stars heard, the soul's blood. The land of spices, something understood. Amen.